talking about the end of my marriage was painful for my children. And I did it because of the political need. And it came with a real cost, a cost to my relationship with my ex-husband, who's still, of course, the father of my children. With my children, they're still angry and resentful. So I very much want the story to be honest about what was hard and what was painful, but also to see that we came out on the other side of it, that those were conversations that my kids and I ultimately probably needed to have, and that I think it means something in Washington when we fight for better trained, better equipped resources and law enforcement to deal with intimate partner or domestic violence, that we have people who have stood there and had a conversation where a police officer said, "Don't call us again or we'll take away your children." It's because I've had that experience that I think I fight so hard to make sure that others don't.
I want to talk a little bit about your Senate campaign. You announced back in January that you were planning to run, and now you've got some company. Two of your House colleagues, Congressman Adam Schiff and Congresswoman Barbara Lee, are now also in this race. I want to ask you, why do you want to be in the Senate? What would be different for you than serving in the House as you do now?
In the Senate, I think you have the opportunity to have a voice that is statewide, that looks at how people and communities fit together in different ways. California is a huge, amazing, diverse, incredible state. The pocket of it that I represent in Congress in Orange County, my home, I love. But what works in Orange County doesn't always work in rural California. And so I think the chance to think about what are policies that can deliver for all of these diverse communities? What are policies that will help us with the real building blocks of our economy? I think that's the appeal of the Senate, being able to do more of this work for an even bigger population, a more diverse population.
You have this ability to go viral due to your exhaustive, extensive grillings of witnesses at congressional hearings. I mean, I guess I'm curious, what do you say to those who might argue that some of this feels performative or attention-seeking?
Well, sometimes the goal is to draw people in, and that's certainly true in a hearing. Hearings are moments of performance. You are there to get an answer out of a witness. That's my job. And I think that for people who say, well, oh, you know, it's performative, don't you want the American people to see you, to hear you, and most importantly, to hear the answer from that witness, to hear that big pharma CEO admit that they have no answer for why they are paid hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation for a drug that isn't getting any better, for pharmaceuticals that aren't saving more lives. So I think that when we think about a hearing or a speech on the floor, those are moments where we should be thinking about our audience, and our audience is ultimately the American people.
Congresswoman Katie Porter is the author of I Swear, Politics is Messier Than My Minivan. Congresswoman, thank you for talking to us again.
Thank you so much.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Workday, an enterprise management cloud focused on providing organizations with a system to continuously plan for all what-if scenarios. Workday, the finance, HR, and planning system for a changing world. From Peacock, with the new original series Mrs. Davis, about the world's most powerful artificial intelligence and the nun devoted to destroying her. From Tara Hernandez and Damon Lindelof, streams April 20th on Peacock. And from Procter & Gamble, maker of Align Probiotic, a daily supplement to support digestive health, containing a probiotic strain developed by gastroenterologists with 20 years of research. More at AlignProbiotics.com. This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, offering asset protection and security through insurance. Home, auto, boat, life. Information from a real-life person who's in the same phone book as you. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance at 772-3858.
KFSK Petersburg is a member of the Coast Alaska Regional Public Radio Organization. KFSK Petersburg broadcasts its main signal at 100.9 FM. We rebroadcast that signal over translators K201 AL Port Protection at 88.1 FM, K216 AA Point Baker at 91.1 FM, K241 AS Whale Pass at 96.1 FM, and K276 BD Petersburg at 103.1 FM.
It's nice out. Oh, fine. Well, it's kind of nice out. Let them go play outside instead of being in here. That's what we only have board meetings on sunny evenings.
Yeah.
Like,
it's true.
Okay. Not the weather from Sunday. Okay. He can hear. All right. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Okay. I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. 6:01. Mara, could you determine a quorum, please?
Yes. Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Jay Lister.
Here.
Carrie Case.
Here.
Katie Holmland.
Here.
Nicole Olson.
Here.
And student rep Charlotte Martin.
Here. Hey. Go ahead and rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to approve today's April 11th agenda. Could I have a second?
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Next, we'll move on to special recognition. We want to congratulate Petersburg's NYO, or
Native Youth Olympics team.
They competed in the traditional games hosted by Sea Alaska in Juneau on April 1st and 2nd. There were teams from all over Alaska and parts of the United States, and Petersburg's team took top honors, first place as the overall team for their scores. That's impressive. And so we get to watch a video, I think. Which is that on? Oh, it's for those that are listening, you can go out to traditionalgames.sealaskaheritage.org and pull it up from there if you want to watch.
Gonna have volume, Jim?
How many teams were there?
How many teams were there? How many teams were there?
Worst nightmare. Sarah on echo.
That was impressive.
It's frightening.
Yeah. What do you mean? Are you?
Is the video, can we hit the video? And now you gotta move up here, Jamie.
Okay. I'm gonna go way up to the top so you guys can see the scene. It
wow.
was an amazing event. So there are your teams. We did have, for the first year, there was a college team category.
Oh, neat.
And there was a team from North Carolina State University that came in. And then there was a middle school team all the way from Yellowknife. And if you don't know where that is straight north from about like Edmonton in the Northwest Territories.
Oh, cool.
And it was really cool. White Horse, they called themselves Team Yukon. So they had a bunch of kids from all the different schools in the Yukon area that came with them. So that was everyone that was visiting. We also had Santa Fe Indian School from New Mexico that flew up for it too. Oh, yeah. And it was the largest traditional games participation ever. And if you can say the bottom team under the visiting teams, good luck. So yeah, Madeline's name is spelled wrong. Really cool event. We had quite a few parents tag along as well, because I just kept talking it up and trying to have some people come and watch the event. It was way cool. We also have a former student on there in the Neil Jump right down the middle. If you see the fifth, Autumn Nanook used to be one of our students here, and she transferred back to Unalakleet. So she was also participating on there. So our kids got to see her, which was kind of cool. So, but yeah, lots of volunteers and things to make this happen. So I'll just show you guys a little video of what it looks like. That is Kyle Worrell. He works for Sea Alaska Heritage. He puts it on. And he broke his own record in the seal hop. So.
Oh, this year?
This year. He broke it 170 something feet.
Oh, gosh. That's so painful. So,
wow. Full screen unavailable. But there should be volume.
I'm worried if I give you volume.
It's going to be really loud.
Well, let's see. It might reverberate again.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's all right. We can just watch it.
Yeah, we're good. I got to go. I got the video. That's the high school level and open version of the wrist carry. Swept in the wrist hang division, boys and girls at the champion. That's the seal hop that Kyle's doing right there. I can push up position. He was a little beat up. This is the one hand reach where you got to balance your body just like that, touch the ball, maintain balance, and then the referee will tell you whether or not you got it. That's the 1 foot high kick. Kid from Mount Edgecombe did 110 inches. Can't imagine. That is the Inuit stick pull. 2 foot high kick. Middle school seal hop. And this is the arm challenge, but this is only open division, not middle school, high school. First of all. They're going to show this is the scissor broad jump. Right now it's the one, the two, three. I got like 30 something feet, which is ridiculous. Just an insight of what it looks like with the whole Native Youth Olympics piece, and the kids did phenomenal. It's really, really well. It was very cool to see them just kind of compete and get after it. We were one of the biggest teams there. We had 13, medaled a lot. And Maddie Dreisbach was, Kyle came over to me and goes, hey, do you have a girl that wants to fly? And we're like, I bet you we do. And so we asked Maddie, and so they got to throw her up on the blanket toss. When they're rookies, they got to sit. They can't stand and go with the rhythm and then fly up. And the object of the game or object of the game on that one is to land on your feet. And so the first one, her eyes got really big, went up, and she's like, oh my gosh. And then they didn't land it. But on the third one, she finally landed it. And she goes, okay, I'm done. Kind of get seasick a little bit on top of it. Kind of constantly going. So Dave Helms and Chris Heyer know how to do the blanket toss because they got to volunteer and jump on the floor and do it too. So it's kind of cool to get the parents involved too. We just called them down. But we're like, oh yeah, the blanket toss. And one guy goes and he does it again. And then all of a sudden he goes up and he pulls a backflip in the middle of it and lands right smack dab in the middle of it. And we're going, oh my gosh. And no one caught it on tape except like Lindsay Dreisbach, like right at the end. She goes, what? And then clicks it on there. So a lot of first place, a lot of medals. And then hopefully the kids will be back for the next one. That way they can do a little demo for you. And then you guys can try some of the events that they do with the 1 foot high kick and everything else. So it was
this
really cool.
Another name.
Super impressive. And they're going to be, you already saw the newspaper article. Thank you, Chris, for doing that. It was very cool. And kids just got done today recording a piece at the radio station too. So it's like a little 25 minute piece that they got to talk about. And it's pretty fun. So, yeah, good question.
Maybe it's more of a, I'm just kind of curious, some of the kids, like even Santa Fe, that I always associated these games as being a northern
native. Yeah, like a northern games.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typically kind of started northern games. Okay. And then, so like the historical portion of them traveling through some of the games kind of went down there too.
Oh, okay.
And so they wanted to come up and get involved with the traditional games too. North Carolina State, one of their kids is from Alaska. And so they brought three friends with them. Mm-hmm. And so that was their first time trying to get it. There is an open division for adult male and females. So like you could go and participate. You could too. It's really fun. Just the camaraderie is unlike anything other. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pretty impressive where Maria Talta was actually doing the Alaska high kick, and the competitor that ended up winning that event, they go and they help each other. Like, hey, try and get this one, you know, do this a little bit. They kind of adjust people and boom, she hits her mark. And we had PRs galore. I mean, it was amazing. It was pretty cool.
That was
awesome. So
I'm looking forward to seeing them next meeting, but
yeah. And they're a little, we did a showcase night at the gym. And so the kids had to explain that to the parents. So we had the parents mingle. And the kids were at each station and they had to explain it. We had some parents do some 2 foot high kicks. It was pretty cool. Low, but it's all good. Yeah. So I told them, be safe. I don't have a waiver. So yeah, it was way cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. So I highly recommend go out there and take a look at it. And then come next week and watch some of our kids share with us. So that will be our student next month. So, and that would have been our student presentation, but we'll do it next month. So, we'll move on to student representative report, Charlotte.
So the juniors and sophomores took the ACT and the pre-ACT. That was last Tuesday and Wednesday. And then students are leaving for Music Fest this week. The school's trying to get more interest in music and drama. So the sophomores and juniors yesterday and the day before, or sorry, today and yesterday during reading block, about like half of the classes went to Miss Winterstein for drama or Miss Corio for music. And it gave like an introduction to what those classes would be like to get more interest. So yeah, that's about it lately.
Where is Music Fest this year?
I don't know, actually.
Ketchikan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They
just
leave at the 4 a.m. ferry.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, like 12-hour ferry ride or something.
Thank you, Charlotte. Correspondence?
None.
Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? I'm seeing none. Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Okay, well, comments from board members? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. And second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. For those listening, it covers quite a few things, but including our monthly accounting reports, bills, payroll, electronic fund transfers, and our generally our expenses for the month, as well as our regular board meetings and our personnel action report. So, Mara, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Carrie Gates?
Yes. Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to administrative reports, and we'll start with Superintendent Quinn Tanner.
All right. So legislative session is still rolling along quite busily. If you're looking for an opportunity to provide some feedback on Senate Bill 52, 1 o'clock on Thursday. I don't know why they do them all in the middle of the day like that, but 1 o'clock on Thursday. If people have an opportunity to call in, you can give 2 minutes testimony. That's the latest bill related to increasing the BSA. They're looking at a BSA increase of $1,000 for FY24 and increasing it by $348 in FY25. They're also looking to try to inflation proof this and looking at the consumer price index. So 2 minutes, you can call in or go to the LIO. You can also submit written testimony always to Senate Finance, if you like, that would be great. House Bill 65 keeps getting bandied around. That's the one where they were looking, and they originally started with about 1250 increase to the BSA. They ended up kind of settling on a proposal of $800 over a couple of years, but then it keeps getting kicked out as well. And there's some pretty genuine concern that it will end up being another outside the formula one-time funding, which is not helpful for us moving forward, because it doesn't give us, again, any consistency over anything beyond 1 year. So that's just not helpful for us. Senate Bill 88 does seem to be getting quite a bit of traction. That's the bill relating to retirement and teacher retirement and just the public employee retirement system. Lots of conversation about that and some movement on that, just because of the whole recruitment retention issue in the state, in addition to the financial issues related to salary, the retirement issue. Is a problem, continues to be a problem. We went to the budget, presented our budget information to the Borough Assembly on Monday, April 3rd, last week. They graciously gave us about 35 or 40 minutes to talk through kind of what we did with you guys and provide some other context for information about the hold harmless provision ending, the federal dollars, the rising fixed costs, all the pieces that we're dealing with. There were some good questions. We did send some additional information back that Bob Lynn had asked for, and we did request a $3 million contribution, so an increase of $1 million from this year, and we'll see where that goes at their level. District is still working through the three-year school improvement process at Stebbin Elementary. Huge kudos to Ms. Heather Kahn and Jill Lenhard and Rachel Etcher for all of their work on that process. We are making pretty good headway. I think we have another meeting next Thursday night, program review, right? Going through the process. So we will have a plan at the May board meeting, right, Heather?
You will.
Yeah.
I think
it is too. We're gonna get it.
You asked 2 months ago.
No, 2 months ago, nobody wanted to ask us anything about that, but we've crossed over the hill, we're over the hump. Also, recognition of Heather's work on the pre-elementary grant. We've talked about that a little bit this year. We are applying. This is a year that it's open again. It's a three-year cycle. Cindy and I jumped on a call today at 3 o'clock about that process, just to make sure we're on the right track with it. And I think we will be ready. I don't think we will be ready to submit that one. We have till May 5th. And actually, it's more money than we originally thought. Yes, it's when we first read it, it talked about it being $150,000 grant over 3 years, but it's potentially $150,000 per year. So that's very specifically for pre-elementary support. So that was good news. So that's good news. So we're working on that, but it's one more grant to manage, just FYI. And we're the grant department. Anyway, just one of those things. So hopefully we get it. So that's it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Next, we'll move on to principal reports. We'll start with elementary principal report. Principal Kahn.
Planning money.
That was good.
I think the only thing that I wanted to add to my report were that, we are been doing a lot of work. So we're maybe seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and still working on the standard-based grading and changing that over from letter grading to standard-based for fourth grade. That is all in PowerSchool, and it just needs to be magically worked with magic fingers that I don't know how to do. She knows how to do, and the other guy knows how to do, but I don't know how to do that. The Alaska Reads Act, the RTI model, we're working on that. And working on the schedule, also working on, there's some leadership courses that are coming out for certification. So I'm enrolled in one right now. There's I think Mrs. Lenhard is, Mrs. Midkiff is, there might be a couple others that are enrolled, but there's a new section that's coming out because with the Reads Act, you have to have another certification level. So all teachers will, and supervisors are required to get this certification level. So my class ends in June.
May.
And there's a new one coming out for teachers to enroll in. The ELA curriculum grant, I think we're ready, and we're going to upload that into the system, and then we can start getting reimbursed for the things that we have purchased already in regards to the curriculum. It's coming in, it's nice, and it's all in nice boxes, and I think people really want to get into it. And our MTSS RTI, we have to turn in by September 1st a plan, and so I haven't started working on that yet, but we're still looking at our classes, and we have one more, I think, before we're gonna start putting all of that into the plan. And the school improvement plan, I think we have next Thursday and then next Friday, and then we have to go in and write up an action plan and the report, and then it can be presented to the school board for a final approval. Yeah. And then on top of that, we have some field trips that are coming up, so it's that busy time of the year. We have the Stikine River that's happening on May 2nd. Our beach walks are happening throughout May. There's about 8 days that really work out with a negative one or greater in the morning for us. And then looking at our class picnics and field day, of course. So I think that is it for me, if you have any questions.
Did you say Stikine was on May
5th? May 2nd.
And the action report that you have to submit and that we're supposed to approve, is that something that's worth the work session, or is it pretty involved? I mean,
it might be worth a work session if you have questions. Like Katie's been present at the last couple of months.
Okay.
And then
I just showed up to see what the process was like, and now I'm stuck.
And now she's stuck.
It's been really interesting, though.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah. Heather's and the next one is a program review. So all of the programs that are used at the elementary school, that's what we are going to be reviewing in this next one. And then the staff, we have to do what's called a practice review and provide evidence based on standards that we have met, not the Alaska State standards, but other standards that we have met at the school. And it might be worth it just to see how we got there, or maybe we could share all those, the program review, the data and everything with you. It's a lot. It took us, just to go over the data, it took us four or five hours.
Yeah.
And that's just,
we have data on like absolutely every little tiny thing. So it's kind of overwhelming. But I would agree that a work session would be,
on a Friday afternoon before the board meeting, kind of like what we just did.
Okay.
Even if it's only, an hour, just in case we have questions or.
And I will be gone that Friday before the board meeting.
Okay.
So, and then Friday before that.
Maybe Jill or Rachel or I could do it, or we could have Molly.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. We could do it.
next we'll have middle school, high school principals report. Simple Moss.
Not a whole lot to report. We're kind of I don't want to say set it and forget it. That's not right. It's never forget it, but we've got some momentum. What's interesting about this time of year, I think, is we have a ton of testing going on. So there's should normally be the anxiety of testing, but we also have a ton of activities happening. And the two together, I thought I was skeptical when I saw what the ethos is and what the MO is here of how much activities there is. And it's like, ooh, that could be a distraction interference. I disagree. I think it actually helps to sort of compartmentalize and de-stress maybe the anxiety of the testing, angst, and have something to look forward to and something that sort of takes that edge off. So I think it's a very positive thing, actually. It's worked out really well. I understand the curriculum presentation the other day, which I was not able to attend, went well, according to the teachers who I checked in with. They said it was well received, so thank you for that. And finally, I think the two things that I'm noticing momentum on are recently that are not in this report, but just a brief ad lib, is that we're doing it better at sticking with students who are struggling and getting D's and F's. Proof will be in the pudding in about 5 or 6 weeks when we get finals going and all that. But we're doing better at tracking week to week, sort of before and after data, weekly updates on the students reducing, the number of D's and F's, for example, that they're on the list. So more support, more energy is being, and for example, in middle school, it's no longer the case that students are remanded automatically to academic intervention because they had a poor quarter the last time. They started the new quarter last week with a fresh slate, a clean slate, and now they, as soon as they get D's and F's, they are to go into the, academic improvement, but the object is to get them out as quickly as possible, not to have them there all quarter because perhaps they got a bad grade last quarter. The other thing I think is very clear is I have this system. Oh, my word. Well, I don't need to have it when I need it, but the teachers tend to text me when there's an incidence of behavioral disruption of a classroom that leads to loss of instructional time. And at the beginning of the year, while we were setting this in place, it was quite frequent. I was getting several every day. Now a week can go by without getting this. So I think there's been an improvement in terms of that aspect. There are other things. I think we're ready for a new frontier of addressing sort of more fundamental how they are, because I've noticed that there's not really mean-spirited things. I know people are preoccupied with bullying and stuff like that, but that's not what I see. I see things that come from sort of immature behavior at that level of middle school boys, but I'm not seeing mean-spirited things. I'm not seeing a lot. Of course, bullying exists. I'm not going to say it doesn't, but I think really addressing the more organically the reasons and sort of the way we interact with students and developing the relationships in order to get them over that hump so that we're not seeing as much of that kind of behavior. But overall, I'm not going to say that I think it's a ton. I know we're all supposed to be on guard for it, and we are. We do get reports of it. We do have meetings to try to sort of, break it up and sort of have a restorative mediation between, say, disparate people who are not on the same page to bring them on the same page. But so those are two things, the addressing the low performing students and a lot of the sort of off-task behaviors that lead to learning loss, because it's something that we really have to, ensure that we have a positive momentum in that way. And that's about it. Thanks.
Thank you. Any questions? Okay. Thank you. Next, we'll move on to Director of Activities, Mr. Cabral.
Walking there. That's good. Oh, you got it up there. Okay. All right. Never slows down. It's all good. Our winter sports have completed all of our activities. PHS basketball, cheer, pep band. We actually had our student government do a pep rally after. Everything was kind of done, especially after spring break, to kind of recognize all the kids. We have one of the best pep bands in the region, probably the state, so they're pretty cool. I love their music, and kudos to Britton Erickson and Chelsea Corio for putting that together. On Alaska, when they got down here through their challenging travels, they don't usually have games with pep bands, and they thought it was the coolest environment in the entire planet. So they were, they walked in, they go, "This is awesome." Aww. And then the pep band played, they thought it was cool. But congratulations to our girls basketball team on their season. Our cheer squad won the Region 5 tournament. They were the best two-way cheer squad. They did really, really well, had a great showing at regionals. Congrats to Coach Turlin and Coach Weathers. Our basketball team received an at-large bid. So how that works is there's 7 automatic qualifiers for two-way basketball, boys and girls. Then there's an at-large berth. So basically they take all the other teams that didn't qualify, the third place teams from the region tournament, and then they look and compare them and then give an at-large berth to somebody. Kind of happens like if you were the 2 seed, like kind of like how we were this year. And they compare all the teams across the state that kind of fell into that category, and then they decide who's the most deserving of it. They look at records, trends, all this stuff, and then we got the bid. It was really hard to keep my mouth closed till 6 p.m. at night when they did the little show, the sports show, and releasing it. They got their berth to state, finished 5th, but they one of the coolest ones was they won the All-Academic Award, so the highest team GPA out of all the boys teams that were there for the two-way. So congrats to them. They are both groups, all of our groups are pretty studious groups, which is kind of cool. Our high school play, middle school play, we actually have a middle schooler who's doing the play this year, which is kind of cool. April 19th and 20th, put that on your calendars. Doors open at 6:30, performance at 7:00. That is next week. So be prepared for an awesome time. 75 minutes, do you remember? I think it's about a 75 minute play. So just to give you guys a heads up on that one, it's about there. Yeah, it's going to be cool. Our baseball team just returned from Sitka. It was gorgeous weather there. It was blowing sideways, but it was all good. Got some games. It was a modified tournament. It's a new jamboree style that actually Sitka and us put together to the state board to see a new jamboree style of baseball, just so they could. The games don't count towards their overall record. It's just to get the kids out on the field and get arms in shape and things of that sort. So it was kind of a round robin play. So a lot of people asked, why did they stop the inning in the middle of it? It was a 25 pitch limit inning, no matter what, just because of arms and safety and everything, keeping the arms healthy. And it was an hour, 45 minute time limit. So they came back with 6 games kind of under their belt. We got to see North Pole and Palmer that were there too. But we have home games with Sitka this Friday. 4:00. I may move that game to 3:30 depending on daylight. Just trying to watch and see because this is early for us. But thanks to Aaron for helping me with the ball field this morning. I've been up there quite a bit the last 2 days, just a tad bit. We got the mound built. The field looks pretty good and we should be all right. So not too much rain Friday, but a little bit Saturday. So 4:00 and 1-4 on Saturday. So we'll pull a double hitter there. Track is underway. This year we had 0 applicants for our head track coach. So right now James Valentine is leading it, but he can't travel much just because of how busy his schedule is. So we're makeshifting and getting some people certified to coach that are helping right now, which is really cool. James will be able to go on the first trip to kind of train our new people that are going to go along and help. I'll go on a few if need be. And then we also have some other previous coaches that are coaching other programs that are coming to help out just so that the kids can have a season, because we don't want them not to have a season. So they leave next week for their first meet in Juneau. And then Ketchikan after that, then regions over Mayfest as always, but it'll be a blast. So track is going well. They're doing really well. Our NYO team just got back. They did great. Middle school track right now, the start date is April 17th. So that's next Monday. If you were bored and didn't come to the gym this past Friday, Saturday, we had 29 games in a day and a half.
You missed it.
It was Mara was every game.
That's not true.
That was awesome. We had 29 games in a day and a half. It was great. Wow. We had 6 schools, 16 teams, 2 courts going the whole entire time. And we actually, for the first time in Southeast, some other schools started mixed 6 a couple years ago. This year was the first time we actually had a mixed 6 bracket. Oh. So we could split our team up into 2 different mixed 6 teams because we have so many boys.
Kowak brought a group, and then Ketchikan Charter School down in Ketchikan started activities this year. And so it's really cool to see them start activities within their school, because they came up here for cross country. And then they had a mixed 16 for volleyball too. So it was way cool to see it. The camaraderie between the boys and the girls was the coolest thing to see. Like, even if we didn't win any game, the camaraderie and just like the school spirit between the two groups and the whole group itself was super fun to watch. That was a lot of staff members there too. It was kind of cool.
I heard that there are 54 middle schoolers that are playing volleyball, and that is more than half of the middle school population.
It's like running camp at practice. Coached 18 games, so the voice is not bad. Voice is not bad for coaching 18 games.
Yes.
But thanks to thanks to all the people that helped out. It was great. It went smooth. We didn't fall back on time. We actually had extra time, and then we flipped to one court for the championship matches so they could kind of get that feel. Then the high school girls helped me out too, which was great, because it was like running back and forth. And they yelled at me once and said, drink a bottle of water. So they were taking care of me. It was good. But yeah, thanks for everyone for coming out. That was pretty fun. But yeah, we got a lot. It's awesome. Ran out of jerseys. It's a great problem. But, and then next month I will have participation numbers for you on the year, because we'll have all of our participants by then. And it's a little ridiculous on the percentages, but it's kind of fun. Oh my God. Question.
Yeah. Any questions, comments? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I don't see Aaron. Or did I miss him?
He's not here.
Yeah, we just had the written report. Yeah, go ahead. So we'll move on to Instructor of Facilities and Maintenance. And so Superintendent's going to read his report.
Perfect. Basically, the highlights are, and we attached all these to the agenda, but we had to go back kind of to ground zero. We had to go back. They had to back off a little bit because of the whole snow load, roof load codes. So we're back to basically replacing sort of an in-kind roof rather than redoing some of the pieces that they were hoping to be able to do within the architecture. So so that it's completed, and we're moving forward with David Landis, our representative that works with us from CERC, to write the CIP application, and then we'll have it all ready to be submitted by September 1st, 2023. And then hopefully it will end up on the list in front of the legislature and be selected in 2024. And then we move forward with the bond. We're working with Jody and Steve on that, and getting that information to the borough. They're preparing for that, not fall of 2023, but fall of 2024. And then the process would go forward with bids and all of that in 2025.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long process. It's about a $3.4 million project today, which means that it won't be $3.4 million by the time it gets 2 years out. So it's, they do have some cost estimators in there too, to anticipate what
they're looking like.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to committee reports. Crisis?
None.
Okay. Curriculum?
We're going to be talking about that new business, so we'll save it.
Facilities, anything besides the roof? legislative liaison and negotiations, we'll skip over that. Policy, Carrie?
Nothing right now.
Okay. Technology? Okay. And then wellness, sounds like you guys might have a meeting soon, though.
Yep.
Heard that on the radio. Okay, we don't have any old business, so we'll move on to new business, which is curriculum. This item, aside from approving the new curriculum materials, will also fulfill the House Bill 156 requirements, approval of sexual education materials and presenters, which we have to approve every year. So I'll make a motion to approve the PE health curriculum, K through 12 curriculum. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Nicole. We'll have any discussion? I think four of us were able to make it in. It was very well presented. It was super fun to hear. I had said something about it on the radio today, but I thought it was kind of fun to hear that they'll have Spanish, a third year of Spanish, as well as kind of an introduction to it in the middle school, which is something new. And then a little bit of changes on the health curriculum, which will be nice too, with a different emphasis. But other than that, I felt pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I don't think there were any hugely significant changes. And everything, as always, is available online if people want to check anything out or look at any of the presentations or the links or the resources or the letters or anything. All on there. and we did update a few of the presenters just to make sure, like Laura Holder now that's working for us as a nurse, she can be available to provide some support in classrooms as well and some of the presentations. And yeah, it's good.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the PE health curriculum for K through 12. All those in favor? Wait, we're spending money. Let's do a roll call.
Yeah.
Sorry. Mara, could you call the roll?
Yes. Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to. Look at the number 16.2, which is our foreign language curriculum, or I like the new language, yeah. The international language.
World language.
Not foreign.
Right.
World
language. So this also is updating our world language curriculum with specific focus on Spanish as the offered language at the high school and then also middle school. So I'll make a motion to approve the world language curriculum.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded by Jay. So any further discussion? Okay. Hearing none. Mara, could you call the roll?
Yep. Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to 16.3, which is our English language arts kindergarten through fifth grade curriculum update. This is the K-5 curriculum document is being updated to reflect the adoption of the Core Knowledge Language Arts program. This is one of four core programs that have been approved by the Department of Education Early Development as part of the READS Act and the ELA or English Language Arts grant the district was awarded. So I'll make a motion to approve the K through fifth grade ELA update. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Katie. Any further discussion?
Materials are coming in, and we have a meeting tomorrow, but we also had a meeting yesterday morning about with the company itself, the CKLA company, and we're able to ask some more questions that we had about the implementation process for next year. So the support seems good, and then when we all go to the Science of Reading Symposium, that's another requirement coming up in a couple of weeks. The RTI team and the ELA grant team are all going up there for that conference.
Are the reading specialists part of that? Are they the ones that are hired?
One of them is at this point. Yes, that she was already on the committee. Mm-hmm. So Carrie will be going up there for that. And then they'll be there again. So we'll have opportunities to meet that grant team too.
I have a general curriculum question. When we have teachers kind of go through and update their curriculums, do we provide them some like guidance on that at all? I'm just thinking of like, we're going to have several new teachers. We already tasked a few of our newer teachers with reviewing curriculum, like in their first year. Mm-hmm. And I've sat in on a couple of the committees and it's like, I'm comfortable enough with curriculum to be able to read it and know that certain things are meeting our district goals, but like, mm-hmm. what is the process like on their end? Are we providing them with templates to structure curriculum or what they should actually be auditing when they go through?
Mm-hmm. It depends. Okay. Yes. And yes,
is
but
there a yeah. way to make it more consistent?
Hiring a curriculum.
Okay.
To be really blunt, you guys talk about HR, and like I said, it's the curriculum director is actually what we need.
Yeah,
we I'm do just need being that. Blunt. Yeah. So
okay,
we're fortunate that we have we have good principals and people who put time into it and mm-hmm. Try. And we do have a curriculum rate for people if they do work on a weekend or if they had mm-hmm. Work after hours. Some are more challenging than others. Like actually, PE and health is because the standards are so almost they're very broad, mm-hmm. so it makes it kind of challenging. And so we also beg, borrow, and steal from lots of districts. We like Fairbanks, and mm-hmm. they're really generous with their documents. And so we're able to borrow things from other places and mm-hmm. use those to look at scope and sequence across. So I don't know if Heather, anything
else. Did you grab yours from the Fairbanks, that one?
Yeah. Yes.
So So the one that we really liked was done by Mary and Becky. They snagged Fairbank and then made a copy of it. And we're trying to do the same for every curriculum at the elementary school. And it's not pretty to look at. It's just all of our standards and what are we doing to meet those standards, or what materials are we using and resources are we using? So
I was gonna say, we actually retyped the entire document so that we actually had to think about each piece. So instead of just copying it, that together, one of us read the other ones, made sure that.
I don't think you guys share that with us at some point.
You did.
Yeah. I remember reading it at like, reading it like, this is what we're doing with this. And this is what we're doing with that.
It's on the district curriculum page, but we've been trying to keep the same format. It's just the same standards year after year with just updated resources of what we do. And so that's all we've really been trying to do is revise those and get them up to date.
Yeah. Making sure they align with materials and resources and keeping those updated.
It's a
huge task.
I know that's why I was wondering,
and if... it's a lot on people. It is people dependent right now, and I know, like Mary and Becky, I think we paid you for a Saturday or something. I feel like, or maybe some other time, you know, like that. That's right it was after school, so we once
and
again,
normally a curriculum director would have done that. It's a huge undertaking.
It's a huge undertaking. Mm-hmm. It's a massive undertaking. So,
but hey, now we can be curriculum director.
But we know all about
it. And instructional.
Take off the grant hat. Put on the grant hat. Take off the HR hat. Put on the grant.
Well, thank you. I was just curious what it looked like on the other end of it, I guess, sitting on a couple of reviews.
Great question.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the K-5 ELA update. Mark, could you please call the roll?
Charlotte Martin?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Nicole Olson?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. 6.4 is out-of-state travel. Per our board policy 6151, out-of-state school-sponsored trips require board permission. We have two high school groups who would like to request board permission to take out-of-state trips in next school year, which would be the 2023-24 calendar year. Spring of 2024 would be the regular cycle for the close-up trip, which they go every other year. And additionally, the jazz band is requesting an out-of-state trip to a jazz festival in Wisconsin in the spring of 2024. So we need to decide whether to approve one, both, or neither of the trips. Usually we make a recommendation to make the motion and then have a discussion about it. And I don't know whether to just kind of flip that to have a discussion and then pick our recommended, you know. I think the difficulty where we, several years ago, it would happen where we would have double, and the concern was overburdening the community with fundraising because it is astronomically expensive to take kids to the East Coast to close up, as well as any really out-of-state travel. And that's where we started the kind of the alternating each year, so that it was never, because you can have close up, what, a dozen or more kids go, and then jazz band, I don't know how big the jazz band is.
She's
discussing, I missed that.
16.
Oh, okay, so I missed that, sorry.
16 students for her.
Okay.
Her proposed trip. There's some of her cost estimates.
And the two big fundraisers I did confirm that they held this year did go to the music program. So the raffle and the seaweed this year went to
music. Yes.
Okay, and so because next they normally year, would have gone this year.
Exactly. This would have been a year.
So then we run into state.
So
I'll tell you what my initial thought is, not to allow both to go, because then are we going to be on that cycle then of two major fundraising every year? Someone's going to have to skip a year to get off cycle again.
Mm-hmm. Or go back to
Uh-huh.
Right. Like next year, theoretically, you could say no to, like, jazz band needs to wait one more year, and then you're on that cycle. That means they've missed 2 years, you know, because of travel, or three, really, because they didn't have, actually, five. I'm just thinking COVID. times. So probably it's been like 5 years. Or you could do both of them next year and then get back on the rotation of music. Music would actually have two in a row, and then it would be close up again, and then music, and then close up in the music. Or you can do none of them, or you can, yeah.
And we have had two trips in 1 year before when the kids went to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, we had, remember the Spanish?
They went at the end of the school year too, so they didn't miss school. But
but cost wise, there was still I think it was year. Music and, was that a music year?
I know it was in the same year as someone else.
Because okay, so there was two.
I like this. Already have money from doing the fundraising this year in their band account that they've already accumulated. So I think that would all, that's also going to help that fundraising component. That they did the fundraising this year and that money's kind of sitting there waiting for an opportunity to go.
And that is true.
That's true.
Yes. So the work that was done with the fundraising this year has been for the
earmarked.
Yeah.
Do we know like the how much of that fundraising has been done?
Yeah. I think she says in there. That
oh, does she?
They have about 3,500.
Yeah.
And they need to about that much more.
Okay. But she's got a good plan set up for 4th of July already, which I think helps spread the burden in the community that Sarah had mentioned. It, you know, helps distribute it a little more.
Yeah, they usually don't fundraise in the summer, so that, or at least historically, I haven't seen them fundraising in the summer. So picking that up helps.
And then the fall and winter would be then close-up group would be doing the seaweed and the Christmas wrap.
I'm curious why the selection of Wisconsin.
Because Wisconsin is awesome.
Okay. There's like, there's a lot of festivals on the West Coast, a little cheaper, but.
You might not know this, but cows love jazz.
I can talk a little bit.
Okay.
Just because I've been part of those.
You gotta come up.
From my.
You gotta move.
Sorry. I'm coming up.
You're forced.
People get annoyed.
I can't hear you on the radio.
So my understanding, just talking with Tori, my daughter, who is part of the jazz band, is that this event that happens in Wisconsin is like the top event, that it not only is bringing people from all over the country to participate in this jazz festival, but it also has the clinics that go with it. There's educational components, that it really is focused on music and not, you know, not just a leisure trip. It's intended to really enhance and accelerate all their skills in their specialty areas. So they get to work with different teams, similar to like Music Fest happens here, but on a jazz level.
My high school jazz bands actually used to go, or probably still do go to that Eau Claire
festival.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and there's like music instructors there and specialists and all that jazz. Jazz. Get it?
Got it.
Thanks.
The other thing that we're doing right now at this, I mean, just to get an idea, so she has some numbers there too, and Mara actually has helped put a survey together to find out how many students may or may not be interested in close-up as well. So it's sort of, I think that's important too, is to find out how many kids and people are we talking about. Are we talking about 30 kids going to close-up and 16? Are we talking about 15 going to close-up and 15 going to jazz? You know what I mean?
So is there like a minimum number for close-up? Like if it's not...
No,
a certain threshold?
You can have 2 kids or 35.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just have to have enough chaperones.
And it's usually only juniors and seniors.
It is.
You don't ever have to bring freshmen and sophomores.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I don't know how many numbers you think possibly might be interested.
I had 7 in one day. The survey only opened yesterday.
And historically, it's been anywhere what, from 12 to 15 or...
Well, Heather, how many went last year? 19? 20?
Oh, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot.
And I feel like the last trip a couple times before that was like 25 or 6 when you and I, or 28.
Oh, okay.
Wow. You and I big group. Went. It was a lot of kids, yeah.
And it'll be, it'll pull from about, we'll have about 67 juniors and seniors in the mix next year. It's 43 juniors, about 28.
Oh, they got a small class.
Not a small class.
22 this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, that's smaller than the freshman. Then I was thinking the freshman class was one of the smaller ones. Okay. What other?
You could. I think close up, I would say, should probably be on your list. I mean, I would recommend it mm-hmm. because mostly because they just need to kind of get, because it's a year process mm-hmm. of kind of organizing all of the pieces of it.
Yeah, and anybody can do it. It's not selective to a particular class, mm-hmm. except for just grade. But I don't know if anybody else feels strongly about making a motion.
I think it'd be good to let them both go. We've already done most of the fun, or at least half the fundraising, then just strongly encouraging to like the band to get back to work while we're alternating.
Yeah.
We've kind of had some weird last few years, mm-hmm. so it's.
Yeah, like I say, I think, the last music trip is probably 2019, actually, that's what I would say, because it was my daughter that went. She was 2019.
I think close up's been very valuable too. My kids that have went, mm-hmm. it's been great for them. So I'd hate to see that get kiboshed in any way.
That's kind of my inclination too, they have some funds sitting there to have them get back on an alternating schedule after. Yeah, making up maybe for lost time.
Mm-hmm. All right. If there's any further discussion, I'll make a motion to approve both close up and jazz band out of state trips for spring of 2024. I can have a second.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Cole. Since we're not spending money, everybody else is. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Next, we'll move on to 16.5, discussion of our staff appreciation breakfast. Teacher and Staff Appreciation Week is May 8th through the 12th, and traditionally the board hosts a full staff breakfast on that Friday of the week, of that week. So we'll have a little bit of discussion on when, if people can make it and what they can bring, or we can send an email out for that too later. Just for new board members, the school district does pay for the food. We just prep it and make it, so don't feel like you have to go spend a bunch of it, because it's a lot of food, because we have a large staff. So, and fortunately lots of them can come in and grab something or even sit down and eat. So so what does that Friday look like for everybody? I guess it would be the 12th. And we usually do it about 7:15.
Right. That sounds right.
And I think there was some definitely some positive feedback or some success around having kind of having a grab and go type of an option last year too, like having the burrito, like the breakfast burrito.
Those were good.
So that was nice. I mean, just because sometimes people are like, they have kids coming in or
something
they
else.
They can't stay for very long or,
Yeah.
So then they appreciate it.
That data will work for me.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll plan on that then and have it in here in the library if that's all right with Ms. Cotta. Invade her space again. It seems to be a good spot. Hopefully it's not too inconvenient for elementary to come over. Okay, and then we'll just shoot an email out in the next few weeks to see if anybody has any strong preferences for bringing some. There's the traditional favorites, and then you can always add something new.
And people at home can be watching their own emails, because the parent groups will be soliciting to find families that are willing to donate food throughout the week to really give a week-long staff appreciation.
I think I saw something already on Facebook, so sometimes it's check there as well if you see an
there's
email.
There's something coming out for middle and high school soon too.
Okay,
there's
good.
One for elementary, but there's going to be another.
Okay. Any additional comments from board members? Upcoming dates and meeting announcements. We did say that there's baseball this weekend. Track and field are headed out the door to Juneau. When is graduation?
Tuesday the 31st.
30th? Okay. And when is prom?
May 6th.
Okay.
Music fest this weekend.
And music, that's right. Will we be able to see that online?
Yes, they're going to release the stream address
Oh, good.
Tomorrow morning, so I'll put that on tomorrow's the best at Facebook. However, post it.
Okay.
That way you guys can.
That'd be great.
I think Ketchikan usually uses their public TV station.
They do.
So yeah. It's generally free also to watch the stream.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay.
Instead of, yeah.
They have their own having station like in the school. It's really cool.
Okay. Any other upcoming dates? And then, of course, the school play.
19th and
20th.
Yeah.
And then we have kids going to go to Art Fest.
Oh.
As well. Maybe the 23rd, coming back the. Oh, sorry.
Is that in Yakutat?
Maybe the 25th, coming back the 30th. They are in Yakutat.
Okay.
And we will share the webpage. That way you guys can kind of see their art. They've got a webpage that they made for you.
Oh, nice. Okay. Any future agenda items?
You confirm that you do want to place a work session for the school improvement plan?
I think it, I don't know. What do the rest of you think?
I think it would be helpful, beneficial.
Okay. All right. Maybe the Friday before. I know Heather said she'd be gone, but if there's someone else that can kind of lead it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That will be the career.
Oh,
career fair.
That is day. Okay.
It's Friday the 5th.
But if we do it at 4?
Or 3.
Three?
The kids will be done by then, so we could do it at. If that works mm-hmm. with you guys, 3 o'clock.
Sure.
Is that
wait, what day did you say?
Friday the 5th, May.
No, but I've also sat in on it, so carry yeah. on.
Okay.
That's true. You've been doing
that. Yeah. May 5th? 3? 3 or 4?
Your program.
3 is fine for me. For
okay.
Us. We'll be done with the career fair. Well, okay. You'll be at the career
yeah,
fair,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
maybe some.
I think I am.
Several of you. Have
been who wants a career in early childhood?
About that.
I don't know that I can.
And then Heather, when is the early childhood fair? Is April 15th, right?
Yep.
That's this coming weekend.
I'm sorry, what?
The early childhood
fair. Oh, yes,
oh, yes,
yes,
that's
I saw
Saturday,
that.
10 to 12
Saturday,
okay, at Fedman.
So that's another thing.
Lots of cool stuff happening at the early childhood fair. Come check it out. That'll big trucks, lots of resources for families.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's this weekend.
Yes.
And then afterwards, you can go up to the ball field and watch baseball.
Yep.
That's right.
Full day of it.
Okay. Any other new business? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Have a good evening. We are adjourned.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
Well, thanks for joining us for the meeting tonight. That's the Petersburg School Board meeting. We're going to take a look at our weather forecast and a few items on our community calendar, and then we've got some blues for you tonight. It's a Steve Barry show for us this evening, and then we have Thistle and Shamrock at 9 o'clock. Julie Spiegelmeyer is your host for Radio Free Petersburg tonight at 10 o'clock, so a lot of music coming up. After looking at our weather forecast and our community calendar, beautiful evening. With mostly clear skies here tonight, there is a chance of rain developing late, early tomorrow morning, actually, mainly after 4 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy tonight and lows around 30. And currently right now, 45 degrees. Chance of rain and snow tomorrow before 10 a.m., then rain tomorrow. Southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Rain possible on Wednesday night, lows around freezing, southeast winds at 15 miles per hour. Rain likely on Thursday, early in the morning, and possibly again late Thursday night. And we do have rain in our forecast Friday into Sunday. As for the marine forecast, the synopsis, a compact low south of Prince of Wales Island will weaken through tomorrow morning as it moves south. A ridge of high pressure continues to build over the eastern Gulf with north to northwest winds, then gets pushed east as a front moves in from the west for tomorrow and Thursday. Stevens Passage, there's a small craft advisory tomorrow with southeast winds 25 knots, seas 5 feet. Tomorrow night, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet, and Thursday, southeast winds 15 knots, seas 3 feet. Southern Chatham Strait, small craft advisory tomorrow as well, with south winds 25 knots, seas 5 feet. Tomorrow night, south winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet, 8 feet near ocean entrances, and Thursday, south winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet, 9 feet near ocean entrances. Frederick Sound, tonight, west winds 10 knots, becoming south late, seas 2 feet or less. Small craft advisory tomorrow, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 5 feet. Tomorrow night, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. And Thursday, laying down again, southeast winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less. Sumner Strait, tomorrow, south winds 20 knots, gusting to 35 knots in the afternoon, seas 4 feet. Tomorrow night, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet, 6 feet near ocean entrances. And Thursday, southeast winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet or less, and 6 feet near ocean entrances. For Clarence Strait, tomorrow, south winds 20 knots in the afternoon, seas building to 4 feet. Tomorrow night, southeast winds 20 knots, seas 5 feet. And Thursday, southeast winds 10 knots, seas 3 feet. Outside waters, Cape Decision to Cape Edgecombe. Small craft advisory tomorrow with south winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet. Tomorrow night, south winds 25 knots, becoming westerly 15 knots, seas 11 feet. And Thursday, west winds 20 knots, seas 10 feet. Looking at our birthday book, happy birthday to Heidi Leakley, Matt Bertignoli, Heidi Bennett, Noah File, Jim Birch, Sarissa Miller, Pat Blair, Tracy Vinson, Amy Hemingway, and Marcy Lockhart. And tomorrow morning, just a reminder that the recycling is not being picked up this week, so you do not have to put your blue cart out this week in the morning. And the public library is hosting several different events through this week, and again this